Welcome to the Max Living Podcast.
We're here to help you live your life to its fullest potential by taking control of your health, identifying the cause of common health challenges, and removing interference. Whether your health journey has had its ups and downs, you're looking for natural answers to common health questions, or you're an advocate for health freedom, come and join us.
Let's align your health.
All right, Max Living Nation, we're ready for another episode of the Max Living Podcast. Today, I'm excited. We got one of my dear friends and just one of our awesome Max Living doctors on with us today. This guy is within chiropractic, just doing some amazing things, has an amazing office, multiple doctors, different approaches happening under one roof. He's certified in chiropractic biophysics and knows more about that than I actually cared to know about. One of my other favorite things about this guy, he's a true philosopher. He is he loves knowledge. That Ashley and I were talking that he probably has, dove into more books, podcasts, all this, and somehow finds himself always ahead of the trend. And so without any further ado, want to welcome my really good friend and fellow Max Living doctor, Dr. Cameron Maynard. And he's going to be sharing some things with us today on personal experience that he's had. Our topic for the day is healing a diagnosis naturally. Cameron, welcome on the show, man.
Thank you, guys. Super kind words. I appreciate that. That was quite the intro. And this is a subject that is near and dear to my heart. It's, you don't want to have this subject near and dear to your heart if you've had to go through a diagnosis or have a medical doctor tell you, we have bad news, X, Y, and Z is going on. You need to start this medication immediately. You need to be on it for the rest of your life, or you're going to need a surgery. You just, from an emotional standpoint, it's not the best feeling in the world. It's not something I hope anybody on this line has to go through or overcome. But I'm kind of here to share my experiences and what I've learned and what me and my family have learned that is the best path moving forward when you get kind of that scary message. And without a doubt, we've reproduced this in the clinic, done it with family. And I hope by the end of this call that people have a sense of hope and direction, and they know what the next step is for themselves and for their family if they're find themselves in this situation. So I'm excited to share.
I'm excited to hear this too. And listen, as a person who didn't grow up under chiropractic care, and I got introduced to this entire philosophy of the way of life, probably when I met Ryan, really. And before that, I know that diagnosis is to me, I remember sitting in college and I remember having a conversation with one of my good friends. And I remember we had this specific conversation about what it was going to be like to get older and to grow old and what was going to happen with, just aging. And we said, I know we're going to end up with a disease. I know we're going to get one of them, and I hope we get lucky and it's not too bad. And
I hope it's not one of the bad diseases.
Yeah. I hope it's not a horrible one. I hope it's one that is a disease that I hope the lightning bolt doesn't hit too hard. And that was essentially how we saw.
Hopefully it's one health that makes you skinny.
I mean, honestly, my God, that was exactly what we wanted, but that was how we viewed health. And we didn't realize that we didn't realize that the path wasn't just lightning bolts and accidents and just bad stuff in front of you.
As we were talking about this before jumping on with you today, Cam, one of my favorite comments that you made, and I just want to frame this, is that this isn't just for somebody whose back's up against the wall and this is a serious health issue, although it applies even as much there, that we've all had injuries. Right now I'm nursing tendonitis. I've injured my back. You've injured your back, Cameron. Ashley injured her neck playing tennis. But some people, they just found out their thyroid's not functioning well and their doctor wants to put them on medication. Or in your instance, your personal story was linked to your mom and her cancer diagnosis.
Yeah, and I think you find a lot of practitioners and people who are in this kind of universe of natural healing because, unfortunately, either they get a diagnosis early in life, like I did. I had herniated disc in my neck when I was 21 years old, played college football, and did not respond well to the traditional medical track. I had an athletic trainer. We did all those things. And I want to just start off. I'm not disparaging any of the practitioners that were in charge of my case. It just, the outcomes were poor. I did physical therapy and it didn't really, it helped a little bit. I had some improvement, but I continued to have the condition. And then I was put on a drug called Vioxx that kind of helped my symptoms. It's anti-inflammatory. But now, looking back, that's now a black boxed medication that you see on the commercials with the lawyer commercials. You never want to see a medication you took when you're younger on a lawyer commercial that says,
no kidding.
Did you take this medication? It caused heart failure and heart attacks. And
oh,
I took that medication for 6 months. And it was kind of forced upon me being young, going, wait a second, this is not good. And luckily, like you had, Ashley, you were saying you had your husband, Ryan. I had an uncle, Dean, that was a chiropractor in the family, and I had zero interest in what he was doing, and I had zero curiosity into what he did. I thought he practiced down in Florida. I thought he helped the elderly play tennis better and play golf better. That's the extent of chiropractic that I understood. But he called me because the next recommendation on my track with my practitioners was a fusion surgery. They said, you know, you're not responding well to the medication. You're not responding well to the physical therapy. What we're going to do now is a three-level fusion of your spine. We're going to fuse your C4, C5, C6. And for those of you at home, those are really important levels in your spine. Every importance level, but you know, your neck is closer to your brain stem and your brain. And those are important areas. And we have some pretty good certainty that this is going to fix your problem. But we're gonna fuse together this thing that is supposed to move freely. And thank God I had an Uncle Dean that called me. He, just to be candid, he cussed me out. He said, you're not having a neck surgery at 21. And he took me through a process and he taught me a process. And it was new to me. It was uncomfortable, but it took time. Natural healing does take time. It took 8 months. And that wasn't really, that was something that was really separate. The medical timeline was much shorter. We want you better in 2 months. We want you better in 3 months. And if we don't, we need to really rush this healing and we need to jump to surgery, where his tact was different, that all natural healing takes time. And I came out the other end, got an MRI, and it completely had reversed the herniated disc in my neck. And that's when my eyes were just honestly really open, that I didn't have everything figured out. And also what it opened my eyes to is these doctors with a lot of fancy letters behind their name and a lot of credibility and, you know, a lot of social credibility. Yes, absolutely. They help a ton of people, but they do not have everything 100% figured out. Their curiosity, and this is what I learned, their curiosity typically stopped at medical school. When they left school, they got that degree, they got a great job. That's really where the curiosity stopped. And that's where their growth and learning typically, I think, kind of freezes a little bit. And that's what, when you mentioned my mother got the diagnosis, she had stage 3B cancer, which is not good. That's the stage before stage 4, when it moves to everywhere in the body. She had it in her lymph nodes. She had it in organs that were adjacent to the nearby organ that had the cancer started. And I said, okay, this is exactly the same thing I went through. What is the process we need to go through to make sure you get the outcomes I did, Mom? Because I was really happy with my outcomes. No side effects afterwards, other than the side effects from the medication I took, you know, other than the intervention that I had. That was really the only side effects I had to worry about. Let's start this journey. And that's when I really put this process to the test.
So I'm excited to hear about this process. I want to just go back and touch on some and recap on some you said, because it's something that comes up very often in all these conversations. When you're working with chiropractic or any form of natural health care, number one, healing takes time. And that's not something that we get to choose. That's just, there are laws in place, whether we understand them all fully or how everything works. There are natural laws, and we know that time is part of that process. The other thing is, you talked about how these medical doctors, and again, we're not here to pick on them, but their curiosity ended at medical school. And I would argue that a part of the reason why that curiosity ends at medical school is because they don't teach you to be curious about the body in a vitalistic way. They don't teach you to be curious about innate or healing, or, you know, really to look at our body as intelligent or designed. It's kind of like this, you know, machine breaking down, and essentially our job is to kind of patch it, fix it, numb it, do whatever. And I think that the neat thing about natural healthcare is the idea that we're always curious about the body, that we're always curious about healing, that we're always curious about what is our body actually up to. So I'm excited. Is there, like, what is there? Is there a 3-step process, 12-step process?
Hey, wait, before we get into that process too, though, I think that there's a big, my big takeaway from what you were saying, Cameron, was that, like, if you, like, every single piece of this story, there was a person that knew something that said something, right? Like me personally, like I met Ryan, you said something, right? You, like your uncle Dean called
see,
you.
See something, say something.
I mean, that's a big deal. But there's, it's always, we don't have advertisements. Chiropractic doesn't have, like, you're not going to sit down in front of a TV screen and you're not going to see, like, you know, youthful people running through the hills saying, like, get chiropractic care. You're going to feel healthy for the rest of your life. Like, we don't have trillions of dollars of ad budgets that this stuff is getting out there. Like, it literally takes a person going to another human being and saying, I care about you. I love you. I see where you're at right now, and it has to change. And I know there's a better way. And let me walk you over here to this vitalistic like process that happens in healthcare that's outside of what, you know, you've typically learned or what you've heard before. So like, if you know it, you have to share it.
That was really, looking back on my experience, that was really the biggest takeaway once I was on the other side. Like when you're in it and you're in pain and you're scared, your focus seems to narrow. And then it's when you come out on the other side, you get perspective and it can broaden. It was, wow, I got top 1% results. I got like the best results. I'm in the 99th percentile. And I think if you want that, if you want to be in that top 1%, you just by law cannot do what the majority of people are doing. That's just how the world works. So,
that's so good.
As you move into that realm of, well, I don't want to get what the average is with this diagnosis. I want to be in the 1%. I want the best results. That requires seeking out different voices and not the average voices or the average doctor in your town. You have to go into different circles. And I think what's cool about what we do, and this is where I think we can be a great resource because we're natural healers. We have some of the largest clinics, in the world, natural health clinics. We get put in circles where we had friends that had healed from cancer. You know, we have a mutual friend in Randy Johns. We have a mutual friend in Dr. Charlie Majors, who was given 1 week to live. They said, go home. You know, he's in a wheelchair. He had lost, 80 pounds, and he ended up living for 7.5 more years. And
having another child and expanding his family by one more person.
Having another child, see his family grow. So we had a little more certainty, and we knew the doctors to talk to. We knew the tests to order. I think that was a good starting point for us. And really, I felt lucky and really blessed because I meet with a lot of patients who have no clue where to start. They don't know where to start. They don't know who to contact. They don't know the testing to order. And I think that's where chiropractors can be an amazing resource to just as a primary care doctor is we can put you in touch with the best of the best of that community. And that's where we started with my mom. Now, I do want to, I kind of broken it down into three steps. But the first step with my mom, when she got this really scary diagnosis, and when you get that diagnosis, what's tough is, healing takes time. That's the one thing you don't think you have. You think like the clock is ticking. We have to get after this quickly. That was reaffirmed by kind of her medical doctors. There was a ton of urgency to quickly take care of this. But I just took a weekend and paused with her. And we met for, really a long time. And the first step of healing a diagnosis naturally is to honestly reflect. You want to reflect first. What likely caused this condition or is currently causing this condition? And we sat down and we really unpacked. And what it came down to is, in my mother's case, the culprits were, she did things. My mom's very practical, a very practical person. She's a single mom. She raised two boys, with limited resources. And she had made a lot of choices nutritionally for an extended period of time that were bad. They were like the box foods at the grocery store that had like the healthy marketing, like Wheat Thins and snacks that were kind of marketed as healthy. When you look on the back, now that we know, she just didn't know. She didn't know at the time. This is back before, it was really known that soybean oil and all these things they put in processed food that she was consistently eating, the preservatives, the colorings, they're just really bad for you. So she had a lifetime of that. And then the second thing is, as we look back and honestly took a truthful look at her history, just a lifetime of stress, just a lifetime of chronic stress. I remember seeing my mom in a lot of stress from a very young age. And we know through how the nervous system works that completely depletes your immune system long term. And your immune system is what kills cancer when it's small, when it's manageable. And she had long periods, years of daily stress that really took a toll on her body. And we had to reflect on that first, because if those things continued moving forward, because there's a saying in Max Living, cause over condition, if we don't get to the cause and we say we even get rid of the condition, it's only a matter of time before it returns, or the things that we're going to try to do to eliminate it are going to be, they're going to be hamstrung at best. They're not going to work to their greatest potential. So that was a key part. That was also with my neck injury. It happened because I was tackling a certain way. I was doing certain things that I had to reflect on were the root cause, and I had to quit those. I think that's the first step.
You weren't like walking around in real life just tackling people, right?
This is football.
Like, not like in the store.
He's like, I'm gonna get that guy. Watch this.
I had issues.
It was like on a real football field. Right?
We didn't mention that in your bio that Cam played college football as well. So this wasn't just in the grocery store tackling people. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome. Pausing, reflecting, really just getting honest with yourself, right? Like looking back at why am I here?
Yeah. I mean, so this is the biggest thing we see with our patients in the clinic. A very common diagnosis is like a thyroid condition or an autoimmune condition. They get some testing back, or they have like a nodule, or they have some really weird symptoms like overall body pain, or they have unexplained weight gain. We have to really get honest in these situations. What caused that? This is not a natural process. Your body just doesn't attack an organ for no reason. And we got to get to the root cause and begin to remove that, reduce the stress on the body. A lot of times that's a leaky gut issue or digestive issue, or there can be a chronic stress or an underlying psychological issue or a spinal issue that is making the body act in a manner that is not really in the body's best interest. So if we skip this process, this is where I really see a lot of frustration with patients, frustration with a practitioner. And, you know, we really want to set up our, you know, it's one thing we want to power through, and do the right thing. But I think a step that kind of is missed sometimes is, how about we just set up our life circumstances in a way that is most going to benefit my healing? That's most going to put me on the path to remove interference, so I have the best chance to heal from this, whatever avenue I choose once I get the diagnosis.
It's good.
That's really good.
Is that leading us into step two here?
So, yeah. So now that we've reflected and we've been honest, what we then want to move into is a massive amount of research. We really want to take the time to research. And again, in my mom's case, we sought those people with high reputations, both in the holistic and natural approaches. And in her case, because it was such a scary diagnosis with the cancer, we chose high reputable medical resources. Now, in my case with my neck injury, I'd already exhausted the medical way of doing things. So I'd already kind of done that. I saw it wasn't working. But in my mom's case, we looked at both approaches. Now, the conventional plan that we got was to just shrink her tumor as much as we could. It was a large, very large tumor, and it was going into other organs. And then once we had it shrunk, we were then going to surgically remove it. That was the plan. And so we knew what their plan, they were going to shrink it with radiation and then three chemos. And then once we did a course of that care, we were then going to remove it surgically. And then we did what was called the Greek test, which I would recommend. You know, this is just, you know, I'm not a medical doctor. I can't make these recommendations, but this is what we did. We heard in every circle that if you had cancer, you need to get this testing. It's a tumor test in your blood cells. And they basically tell you what natural and also what conventional treatments your cancer is going to respond the best to. And that gave us a roadmap. And I think that's important in research, is that you have a roadmap. The roadmap that we got for the medical doctor, and this was fascinating to me. We went to the best cancer institute in our area. He was a MD Anderson educated cancer doctor. Thankfully, he was a very young doctor. He was open to what we were doing, to the natural modalities. He actually changed some of his recommendations based off the information that we had. So I was just very grateful that he, you know, wasn't just my way or the highway kind of doctor. And he pulled out this flow chart. I'll never forget it, because it was a flow chart. It said, you have 3B cancer, and these are this is the course of action that you need to get. And the flow chart had been like photocopied like 10 times. It was like a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy. It was like on this like really blurry piece of paper. And I was like, this is it. Like there was no nuance whatsoever. Like it was, nope, this is what we're told to do. These are the three chemos that work for this stage of cancer. Well, what about this? Nope, this is the path we follow.
Man.
And that's when I saw like his roadmap was extremely set in stone, and there was very little nuance, and he couldn't really even give me good explanations on each of the treatments. It was basically like, this is what my boss told me to do, and this is what I do.
Yep.
And that woke me up a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would definitely wake you up.
I want to go back to one thing. When you talk about doing research, and I love this because this is who you are at the heart of this, and this is why this conversation is so good. You are a researcher. You go in, ask the tough questions. You're a thinker. But not everybody's like that. So I think that a lot of times some people would find out they have a problem, then all of a sudden they're like, okay, now I got to go come up with an answer. So their first thing is jump on Google, and they're like, you know, what was the cancer your mom had? What organ was it?
It was colorectal cancer.
Okay, colorectal cancer outcomes, right? Best colorectal cancer treatments.
Right.
And what they're going to get is you're just getting whatever the status quo is. And you already talked about this. We don't want status quo. We want to be in the top 1%. So now in the top 1%, now are that Google search changes to surviving colorectal cancer naturally, or best natural treatments for colorectal cancer, or, you know, whatever that is, what are the outcomes? And so I think that the how you do the research and the areas you look and are going to determine the type of answers you get. And, you know, or what you do is you find yourself in the medical doctor's office where he's got a photocopy of a photocopy of a photocopy of the treatment protocol that they've used for ages. And now you're just doing what everybody else is doing. And you're going to get the results that everybody else is getting.
Right. And the idea that this isn't like when you go into a doctor's office, you do oftentimes feel like this is like you have to obey. Like you're walking in, they tell you something, you obey. Like the idea that this is actually a relationship and you have choices, and that there are things that you can study and research and do. You could Google what's the title of this episode? how to heal naturally from a diagnosis, right? I mean, like there are things that you can do, and there are places that you can go, and there's resources at your fingertips. You just have to think and research and put in the work. Otherwise, you're just along the path. That's so good.
Yeah, I think what happened is, through my experiences, is the veneer of this ivory tower of medical doctor and medicine kind of fell away a little bit. That, you know, if you go to a barber and ask him if you need a haircut, you know, they're going to tell you yes. And this is, again, it's just the tools they have and the training they have. That is basically what you're showing up for. And I think we try to make it something different, but if you call a plumber, he has a certain set of tools. You call a roofer, he's got a certain set of tools and expertise. If you go to an oncologist, his tools are radiation and chemotherapy, and he is going to be the best. And you want to find the best person that is good at those tools, but do not think he's going to give you anything else other than those tools. That is his answer. And that's really where I think, again, when you have a diagnosis like I did when I was younger, kind of the optimism and the naivete fell away really quickly. And it gave me just a lot of certainty and to see what was going on from a place of reality and not of a place of handing over my responsibility to somebody else with just a different set of tools. So then what happened, once we got all the testing back and the Greek testing gave us a roadmap, and it basically told us the therapies that, you know, the natural therapies and the conventional therapies that we should follow. We found some wise counsel and a natural minded health practitioner that, you know, had kind of a great reputation around town with natural cancers. And I think that's another good, you know, if you're looking for research, sometimes people want to use Google or the internet, but trying to find or asking around from your friend group or your church group or anybody, anywhere that you have a strong community, of trying to find that 1%, people that have, like, do you know anybody who did this really well? And so you can kind of see what they did. I find that can be extremely helpful. So the third step, and this is where I really saw my mom, I saw what she was really made of and the type of woman she was. And this is the same process I went through with my uncle, was once you have reflected on the cause or what likely you had done to contribute to the cause of your diagnosis, you've done your research thoroughly, and you have a roadmap, is the third step is now it's ride or die. It is go all in, complete. Once you pick a course of action, you have to jump in completely. And this is the number one mistake I see with patients. Once they get the roadmap, somehow a lot of doubt creeps in and they kind of get overwhelmed, especially if the diagnosis is causing some symptoms that can, you know, can affect their energy or can affect their motivation. And now they're kind of in this middle of the road. They're kind of doing some of the conventional stuff. They're kind of doing some of the natural stuff. And they get frustrated. Why isn't it working? It's because they have not gone completely in. Just to speak candidly, you know, the natural things my mother wanted to do were not covered by insurance. She remortgaged her house and spent $40,000 out of pocket over the course of 6 months because she was all in. She, you know, she was starting to have grandchildren. She was starting to see that, you know, this is scary. And I'm completely proud of her that she really put her money where her mouth was and, you know, took out that loan against her house so she could do that. So if you're in a position where you financially have to maybe make some hard choices, that will really tell you, you know, and you guys know this, you put money where you value. That's just all it is. Money is value. And she really valued her health. She valued the opinions of these natural health practitioners. And she understood the insurance model and what they pay for and what they didn't pay for. And she completely went in. And that really proved to me that when she did that, I go, okay, she's going to have some good outcomes.
That's so
good.
And listen, I've seen your mom, in fact, recently. So I know the outcome was good, but it was a good outcome.
Yeah. So I think that would be good to kind of share. So she, with the Greek test, they were recommending 3 chemos and radiation. One of the chemos came back showing really good results. And it would, thank goodness, of the 3 chemos, it had the least amount of side effects. It's kind of a newer medication. The other two chemotherapies they were recommending had very scary side effects. And we had read a lot on them. And it really was a blessing that we did not have to use those. And her doctor was saying, hey, if you want to tweak this, I'm going to be open and I'm going to let you choose what you want to do. So we moved forward with just one of the chemos. And then we did every natural thing that it said to do that would affect her cancer. Infrared sauna, vitamin C infusions, a couple other different glutathione infusions that were recommended, a wormwood extract. She did an ozone therapy that was very hard to come by and very difficult to do. She did completely turned her lifestyle around through the 5 essentials and I mean, zero cheating as far as like stepping away from what she agreed would be best for her body. She never went back on her promise to herself. And so she did a course of this for 6 months. And again, the idea was that we were going to shrink this tumor to a manageable size so we could remove it surgically. When she did her MRI and PET scans at the end of the 6 months, the cancer was undetectable in her body, undetectable.
That's so good.
Could not find any sign of it whatsoever. And just to kind of give you a backstory, we asked the surgeon, we did like a consult before we did all this. And he was very highly recommended surgeon. Had a, you know, I, you know, you have a good surgeon when they have a very poor bedside manner. Like he was very, that's what you want in a surgeon. He was not nice. He was very straightforward, but we said, what are the chances of us doing all this stuff and you not needing to do surgery that we can just take care of this with the course that we're doing? He said 0%. He said, I 100% will have to do this surgery. And there is no way that this is going to spontaneously, he told us a 0% chance.
Wow.
What do you think the percent chance is that he had a patient who ever did what your mom did though?
See, he had told us he had never had anybody, and he was an older gentleman. He was the one who taught the Da Vinci machine that they use. He lectured all over the country. He, you know, in his 30 years of practice, you know, he was an older gentleman. He had never seen any 0% in his experience. So then we had to meet with him again. We go, there's nothing on the PET scan. There's nothing on the MRI. Should we still do this surgery? And this is where we kind of went against our intuition. He really kind of scared us into, we still need to go. I need to go in there and I need to see what's going on in here. That's what he told us. And we, at this point, my mom was more at ease with him doing that. So she went forward with the surgery and he could not even find where the cancer was. He saw like a little, he said like a little dimple, like a little, just imagine like when you smile, you get a little dimple. He saw just a little dimple in her colon where the cancer had been. He removed that area of her colon where it had been, and then they sent it into pathology. When the pathology came back on the tissue, they found zero cancer cells in that tissue. It was 100% healthy, non-cancerous tissue. So when that came back and he had to go over the results with us, we said, you said 0% chance. You said zero, and now the pathology is coming back completely healthy. What's going on here? And then we got, and that was the first time I really saw him lose confidence. He stuttered. he goes, well, when you read on this, there's like a 1-3% chance this can happen, but this was still the right decision. He really was kind of, we saw him backtracking completely because basically he did an unnecessary surgery on my mother that was not needed. I think he did it from his heart and he thought that was the best course of action with his experience. So, but what's really bad now is my mom, the only side effects she has, and she still does have side effects from her cancer, they're 100% from that surgery she had. Her having that portion of her colon removed, having to have her rectum reattached and all these side effects and scar tissue.
Cutting out a natural part of your body that's designed to be there. And I don't want to pass this up. And I know your mom, I love your mom, and I don't mean this about her. I just mean that these decisions, they're not faith-based decisions. Like everything that you knew about like the cancer not being there and knowing what you guys had gone through and knowing that nobody else had ever done what you guys had done, and that's why he never saw the outcome. You could have faith and go, you know what, her tissue is probably normal. They can't even see it. And the faith-based decision would be the one to just say, you know what, we're good. We're okay with this. We believe she's healed. The fear-based decision is, what if it's still there? We want to know. And that's where I feel like sometimes when we make decisions out of fear, even though your mom healed, she's fine, whatever, those fear-based decisions, when we make them, they typically move us down a road where we end up doing things that in hindsight, we wish we wouldn't have done.
Yeah. And that's a tough call, you know, and that was ultimately she really tried to put the decision on me, Ryan, what do you think I should do? And I just could not make that decision for her. I said,
and it isn't your decision to make for her.
Yeah,
it is not. And I said, my wise counsel, you know, was it just to be honest with you guys, my wise counsel was, you know, this is the best of the best. He's saying that, you know, this is still a good idea. So even myself being a natural practitioner, I was still kind of leaning more towards, this was my journey of kind of learning about the human body, was to tell her to have the surgery. So I do want to say though, you know, looking back, 2020, that has affirmed my faith to help patients and to tell them to listen to their gut, listen to,
intuition,
you know, what their intuition is telling them. But you know, now what's hard for, you know, it's hard seeing my mom is she does have some side effects from the surgery. And that's difficult for me to see that I didn't help her in that decision. But that's just how it goes sometimes when you have a really, really, really bad diagnosis.
Part of life and part of growing and like walking this journey of health is like, there are going to be times where you're not going to make the perfect decision. Like it just, that's inevitable.
I mean, and if you look at it and go, okay, my mom's up against a dangerous cancer diagnosis, stage 3B, here's the potential outcomes, whatever. And then somebody said, hey, here's the thing. She's going to heal from cancer naturally. You guys are going to make all the right moves. You're going to do all the right things. And in the end, she is going to have a surgery because they're going to want to check to see if X, Y, and Z, but it's going to come back clean. And she's still going to have some side effects possibly from that surgery. Everyone's buying into that option.
Oh, for
everyone's,
sure.
Everyone's yep. choosing that option. So, you know, I like that as a chiropractor, I love it. They say you can't keep looking back over your shoulder in the rearview mirror because it's going to screw up your neck, right, over time. And so the reality is we can't look back. I love the fact that you've been able to take this and what you learned from not just your neck injury and also your mother, but turn this into a process of here's the three steps. I wrote them down because I think this is huge. And what I love about this game, this is exactly who you are, is being able to take something that's complex and emotional and challenging and pull simplicity out of it. And you literally your steps are reflect, research, and go all in. Like that is pretty simple, but reflect, get honest, pause, look back, get to the cause. Why am I here? Research and choose your research based on the outcomes. I think that was one of the best things I heard you say today was we didn't want the results that everybody else was getting. We wanted different results. So yeah, we listened to the research. We did the medical research, but we also researched all the things that only the people that were getting the outcome that we wanted did that. And then the go all in. And I think I'd like you to kind of go into this one for a second, but this is the step where I think honestly people struggle the most is going all in. Why is it that people don't go all in?
I will tell you, and this was the best thing to come out of this whole experience for me, is when my mom went all in, ride or die, into her course of care that she found was best for her. The support she had from her friends, she played tennis, you know, she played in circles. She had circles of, you know, wealthy friends or well-to-do people. They did not support her decision whatsoever. She also did not have a lot of support from her health practitioners. They would say, you know, I don't, you know, I will let you do this, but I want to voice my disapproval for all the things you were doing. They always made their disapproval known. And I just saw over that course of 6 months, you know, she had support from myself. My brother's a chiropractor as well.
And not even you can go ahead and do those things, but they're probably not going to work. They're not even saying that. They're saying, I don't even like the fact that you're doing it.
The doubts, she would share about her financial things, like they're just taking your money or whatever the course is, like all of these things that she had to battle and really have a shield up and be assertive and pushing back so they would quit saying those things. That's one thing I like about my mom. She is assertive. If she doesn't, she would just say, hey, if you're going to talk about this, don't talk to me about this anymore. Like I've already made up my mind. Cause remember, she was all in, this was the course of care that was best for her. And I think, and it just really, it actually brought a tear to my eye. I went to one of my last appointments and she finally got validation because the surgeon didn't really admit that he was wrong. Do you know what I mean? But the oncologist said at the end, after, you know, he was wrapping up her case, putting a button on it, like, and he was basically saying like, you're cancer free. You do not have cancer anymore. The course of care now is that you continue a certain type of chemo for the next 5 years. That is what the flow chart, the next step. That's on the flow chart is now. let's go back to the photocop flow chart. It said, I have cured you. You now need to take this chemo. And he goes, but Andrea, you know, because this was the best he'd ever seen anybody in his own case respond. You could tell me you want to do it for 5 years. You could tell me you want to do it for 3 years. You could tell me you want to do it for 1 year. And these are his words. You could tell me to go to hell. That's what he said. You could tell me to go to hell as a doctor. And all of those options are good for you because I've never seen a case do this. And that's, again, that made me so emotional for my mother to finally get validation.
Absolutely.
That she made the right choice. And she also said, well, don't you want to know what I did so you can help other people? And you want to know his answer.
Oh, no. What was it?
Nope. I do not. I really don't have any interest to know any further what you did, but you can do whatever you want to do with your case. But he was not curious about any of the things she did. And that's where,
because his curiosity died at medical school.
Yeah. And that's when I kind of saw the whole process full circle, completely full circle. And it just that solidified and really concluded all of kind of the cancer experience for me and my mother.
Oh my gosh.
That's amazing, Cam. I want to ask you, what are you curious about in practice right now? What keeps you curious? If your curiosity hasn't died, you're recommending a book every other few days to me. You know, the other day I was out in Oklahoma at your house. I happened to wake up in the middle of the night to grab a glass of water. You're listening to a podcast. What you're a very curious individual. What keeps your curiosity burning?
I am extremely curious right now because I think from our standpoint, a lot of the health issues we have are self-inflicted by the choices we make from a young age. A lot of it's how we raised and how we were parented. And a lot of it has to, you know, the choices right or wrong are tied to our self-worth, our self-love, you know, the motivations we have. I'm just very curious about why do we make the choices we do? I look at my patients that make poor choices or continue to make poor choices. I want to just know how I can help them to make better choices. You know, they're making, I have a lot of respect for them because they're making a great choice in seeking out chiropractic, trying to reduce or eliminate their medication use, trying to heal naturally. But as I talk through them and the other areas they need to be making better choices are, they really have a wrapped up identity that they can never do that. Or I'm not a morning person, or I don't eat healthy, or I'm not a health nut, or it'd be impossible for me to exercise. It just fascinates me that where those deep seated beliefs come from and why there's not more of a growth mindset. I'm super curious about how in a clinical setting I can help patients make better choices. That is what I am just trying to take a full dive into right now.
That's great. All right. So we know Max Living offices all across the nation. We have amazing chiropractic care, corrective techniques, home care. We have metabolomics. So we're testing and actually looking at blood, looking at urine, looking at different things, looking at different pathways. So knowing what you know about the Max Living Network, also knowing what you know about chiropractic and just natural healthcare in general, somebody comes into your office or another Max Living office, what is it? Because we're not oncologists. We're not, you know, we're not dealing with cancer. We're not you know, looking at the body the same way as a lot of these other experts are in these fields. What is it that they're getting from you? What is it they're getting in a Max Living office that is so valuable in terms of overcoming a diagnosis?
Well, I think number one is I just have, again, as I get older and wiser, it's, and seeing what my mom had went through, is a community. It's a community of people. You know, there's a saying, you know, if you've got four friends that are smokers, you're going to be the fifth person smoking. Like, it's, you got 100 or hundreds of people around you that are moving towards a goal of health. You're going to be the 101st person that is taking and moving in that direction. I think we, in this day and age and the online age, and as you know, with a pandemic, we're really seeing, especially with kids and the studies coming out on the effect that, you know, at home learning has done to them, that community is not something that is optional, that it is hardwired into us as humans to affect our behavior and who we are. I think that's a big thing in our clinics, is this amazing community. And then I would say the second thing is, you have a practitioner, you come into my office, we are not going to skip first base. So, you know, if you play baseball or softball, you find, and I know you guys, you sit down with patients that they don't want to run the bases. They don't want to go to first, second, third. They just want to go right to home. Just fix my problem. And that's kind of I think what's enticing and what's valuable about medicine is they can kind of skip all the bases, and it's quicker time. It's a lot easier to just take a pill or just show up for a surgery, go under, wake up, and then recover for 6 weeks. You know, we got to go to first base first, which is, why did this happen? What are the lifestyle changes we need to make? But these are the things that work best. Hey, we need to redo your pantry. You need to come to this workshop. You need to take notes. And not letting that patient off the hook that this is not my responsibility. This is your responsibility. I love you. I care about you. But if we're going to be honest, you know, your diagnosis, your headaches, they are not truly my problem. These are your problem, and you need to do the things that you need to do to make sure that because it's not going to be my victory either. This is the same thing as a doctor. When you cure cancer, or when my mom cured cancer, or you cure the thyroid issue, this is not my victory. Yeah. This is your victory.
That's so
this
good.
Is your thing that you get to overcome, and then pass that treasure down to your family, to your friends, with your experience. You're the hero in this story. I'm just the guide. You're the hero. And I also think a lot of medical doctors kind of want to step in and be the hero in some cases. I have zero interest in doing that.
That's so good, man. Cam, thanks. I appreciate you, Dr. Cameron. Thank you for sharing that story. You know, when I think about Max Living too, one of the things I love is, you know, going back to the, like, we put cause over condition. And that's when somebody walks in, like you said, we're not going to skip first base, but we're also going to set the frame for this conversation. And I think when people really want to heal, setting the frame around, we're going to do things that increase healing. I remember when my grandfather was in the hospital and he had a stroke, I remember sitting there going, he's supposed to recover in here. Someone's in and out of the room every 10 minutes. They're poking them, prodding them, bells are going off, you know, all that, like all this stuff is happening. The food was terrible. There's no natural lighting. The windows looked like prison windows. The bed was uncomfortable. Like, nothing about that environment was conducive to healing. Right. You know what I mean? Right. If I had a broken leg, I wouldn't want to be in there because it's not conducive to being comfortable and healing, let alone recovering from a stroke or cancer or whatever. So what I love about the process of natural healthcare, and particularly in a Max Living office, is that everything we're trying to do revolves around increase in healing. And I think the big part of that, starting with what we start with, being the nervous system, right? Like, your problem might actually be diet. Your problem might actually be toxins. Your problem might actually be this other thing. But in order to absorb nutrients, in order to detoxify, you still have to have a healthy nervous system. And so we always start with the nervous system, not because it's the cause of the problem, but it is going to be the major source and major pathway to getting you healing. Even if the problem's in another area, yeah, it still relies on your nervous system and the communication.
And what a powerful woman your mom is. I mean, honestly, I know I've heard the story before, but just sitting and listening to it again, like, it's such an inspiration to me. Like, she's such a powerful woman. Like, what she looked in the face of and, like, walked through and did and stuck to and honored her word and, like, was true to herself. Like, I mean, it's just, it, like, brings tears to my eyes. So, my gosh, I just love your mom.
She's great. She's amazing. And it really, again, just seeing her with my kids now and get to see her have an experience with 7 grandkids. She doesn't have to miss out on this, such an important season of life that really, if we're being honest, you know, she's in a place now where she doesn't really, she likes to work, but she doesn't have to work. She can retire. That's supposed to be her golden years. That's supposed to be, you know, this, the, one of the best parts of her life where you get to unconditionally love and have an immense amount of unconditional love in your life and see what the real purpose of life is, that she gets to experience it. Like there was a chance that she was going to have to miss out on that part of her life. So I'm really grateful for her and her strength and what she's been able to do. So I can experience that and see it and know that I really want that as part of my life as well.
That's awesome.
That's beautiful. We better end this before I start my allergies start acting up again here over here. I'm not crying.
You're
you
crying.
Guys are crying, but, yeah, she earned it, man. And that's the big thing. And she's blessed to have someone like you in her life to be there and be the sounding board and be a pillar for her too. So Cam, thank you. We really appreciate it. If you are looking to partner with a Max Living doctor in your health, if you're looking for someone to help guide you through this, if you're looking for a community and you're looking for those people that are making those type of decisions so that you don't have to feel like the only one, then what you should do is go to maxliving.com. Click on Find a Doctor and find the Max Living office near you. Until next time, this was the Max Living Podcast. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Max Living Podcast. For more health tips and tricks, be sure to follow us on our social media @MaxLivingOfficial on Instagram and @MaxLiving on Facebook.